This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Dancing in the moonlight.
We are back. Maggie O'Brien's. Come on by. Get registered for Blues playoff tickets. And it's so fitting that after a big Blues victory, we have Mr. Blue, the man who's been with the organization for all 52 years, never a day without the Blues in his life, Bob Plager. Bob, great to be with you. How are you?
Well, I'm great. Big one last night, so today you have to be good.
When you turn off the TV last night, your first impression of this hockey game was what?
Well, you know, after the first game there, we had, it didn't look too good to bounce back. And, you know, this team, they surprised you. I mean, they surprised me. I mean, they get in there now. I get on the road. Maybe we want to play all their games on the road. But to play like that and to bounce back the way they did, and you see the players that are scoring the goals that are coming through for them. I mean, it's great. It's great for some of these young kids, and they're learning, and they're going to get better.
So when Frank and Martin are in the press box, we're there taking our notes and probably eating some of the free food. Every time we turn around, there's Bobby walking by. He famously can't sit still, can't watch the game. What about at home when the game's on TV? Are you pacing around the living room?
Oh, I have my spots I go to. Sometimes I just go sit in the car and listen to the radio.
Is that right?
The games. Oh, yeah. I have spots I go to. And last night I was at we had Bobby's on Hampton, so I was out the back. I walked the back, and it's nice we have the little sirens going. So you're sitting there, and I hear that siren, so I run back in. I get to see the replays, and
so you never see the goal happen as it happens.
Not as it happens, no. But what it is last night that I watched the game. It's nice to go home. They replay the games, and after the games, you sit there and you watch. You see all the goals, all the good plays. So you mostly, I see most of the game, but it's tough. I mean, I can't. I feel for the guys, and there's nothing I can do about it. I walk.
You can probably relate to Robert Portuzzo. He's a defensive-oriented defenseman. You are a defensive-oriented defenseman. And to have a moment like that, what'd you think?
Well, you've seen the look in his face and when he's in there. And, he's had some chances. He does jump in, and the way our team is playing right now, and we talk about it early, it's a game of trust. You trust, and right now our forwards are backing up, and they're taking the spot. So the defensemen, you see our defensemen, they're scoring. They're jumping in the play because the forwards are doing their job. And, you watch these guys at practice, too, the little they get out there, the stick work, the way they handle the puck. And, sooner or later they're going to have to get in close. They're going to put one in. But you couldn't ask for anything better than a better player that gets to sit. He sits for a few games, but he's in the dressing room. He's pumping up the guys. And to get out there to play, and I know the players like him. And I think even the game before, we've seen what he can do there. There was a little scrum in front of the net.
Yeah, and beat the tar out of somebody.
And he beat them. And, people, I thought, we talk about the referees, but people talk about the, they change a five-minute penalty to a two-minute roughing. But I think the referee figures, well, if you give him a five-minute fighting, he'd get the instigator. It's 2-5 and a 10 and could be a suspension. So, I mean, it's good, but it's great the way the players are playing and backing one another up. And
when did you think Jordan Binnington is the real deal? Because I'm sure early on, everybody that's been around the game is like, hey, this is a nice little stretch, good story for us. During the course of a season, somebody will pop up and have a moment here or there. When did you say, I think this kid could maybe get us into the playoffs and maybe make some noise?
Well, it's what you said. I think a lot of us were sitting there waiting. He started off so good, but it's going to come. And the other teams, now with the videos and the way they watch him, the pro scouting, they probably after the first four games they played, every team had the film on tapes on him, and they're watching him, they're studying him. They got people that break down tapes. So usually you start off good, and then later on that catches up with you, and that's what we're waiting for. And I'm sitting there watching him, and he impressed. He earned what he's doing right now. You have seen players there, goaltenders that come in and play good for a while. Yeah, they get to go around the league because it's new. The players don't know him. But, I mean, him, and he is cool out there. And just some of the saves, the way he places his body. And even last night, the one goal through the five hole, the second goal, when it went through there, you watch to see his reaction. And it was just, he had the little peeved off. They look around the net, see where they were. No, he's given this team and the chance to, when the team's not playing well, and we have times when they're not playing well, he's made the saves. He's given them the chance to go out there and win the game.
Best goalie since Grant Fuhr as a Blue?
Well, Grant Fuhrer was, he was the playoff player. Grant Fuhrer was, and I think everybody says if you wanted one goalie in the playoffs, that would be the guy. So right now, you know, it's early. You can't say Grant Fuhrer won a few Stanley Cups. And you know, the goaltender, that's your team. We talk about the St. Louis Blues the first few years we went to the finals, and we thought we were a good hockey team, but we had a great goaltender. I mean, that's what our goaltender, not too many times you can lose a four straight, and you can be the MVP of the playoffs, the Stanley Cup, in Glenn Hall. And, you know, that's where you learned it. Glenn Hall, and he'd even say, he says, fellas, I'll win you myself 5-7 games a year. Myself, I'll win you them. He says, and a lot of them, he says, I'll give you the chance to win. And that's what he did. When we were bad, he was good. He gave us a chance. We get our game together, and we win the games. And that's what this goalie's doing for us.
You're the perfect person to ask. Bobby Plager's with us. We're at Maggie O'Brien's. It's the Sunset Hills location. Frank Martin here. The station's going to be going live till 3 o'clock. Then Cam Jansen is going to be here from 6 until 7. We are getting folks signed up for some Blues tickets that we're giving away. But Bobby Plager, who's been around this organization from day one, where does the Pat Maroon double overtime Game 7 goal rate? We were kind of ranking all last week the moments. I think Dan O'Neill said the shot goal had to be number one just because it got you to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Where would you put the Maroon goal?
Well, the Maroon goal, I put just him being a local guy and what went on the way it was. And I mean, our fans are so pumped up, and this is here and to play at home. And you couldn't write it any better. And to be there in the dressing room after and around when the guys are there, and to be, see him there with his son, and see the two of them, the tears in the son's eyes, is sitting there. It's, the goal was great. It was great to see go in. It was a heck of a play by our number 18, who was a heck of a hockey player. But to see Pat score it, and, you know, I'll never forget, there was a baseball player that lived here, too. He hit some pretty big home runs at Freeze.
Yeah.
So
you were on the ice for the shot goal.
Yeah.
Okay. You were on the ice for Crombean?
No.
Okay. And then the other ones in this equation would be Wickenheiser.
Yeah.
And then
the Turgeon goal was a Game 7.
Yeah.
Turgeon goal was, that was the game. That's when I really started to walk. You know, I was up there, and I took off for that game. You know, we were down 3-1 in the series, and we come back 3-2, tied it up, and then we had to go in there building to play. And walked around the building, and in Phoenix, walking around, and all the suites are there, and I'm walking slow, and I stop in front of one of the suites. This is the double overtime. And I hear the cheering, the yelling, and the screaming, the banging the walls. Well, right away I says, well, they scored because of the noise in the suite there out in front of them. And the door opens and out runs. It was the Budweiser from St. Louis suite, so it was all our players. And I meant to see. And Turgeon was he was my favorite. Turgeon, I don't care what anybody says, he got the big goals. He had a lot of overtime goals for us, but he was a heck of a hockey player.
Favorite all-time Blue?
Well, he was one of my favorites. Yeah. Okay. I mean, the way he played out there, and I would have loved to have kept him here. I fought to keep him in here, but and then he went to Dallas and won the Stanley Cup. He got some big goals there.
Now, you're a little bit older than Craig Berube, but have your paths ever crossed, you coaching against him? Do you have one great Craig Berube story?
No, I watched him a lot. He was one tough guy, and he stuck up for his players. And, you know, you respect guys like him. He wasn't given a job every time. He had to, go out. Like they say, every year you got to go out and you got to earn your job. But he's the player that would go out there and play. And he would not look for the fights, but if anybody there touched his players or went after somebody, he was there, he stood up, and that's why he played. And he's brought that to this team here. You know, we talk about the turnaround with this team. I like the he was a good guy, but when you sit there, I don't think he had the team, the attention of the team. We had some pretty good players. We were expected to do very good this year. At the start of the year, it wasn't there, but when Berube came in, and he gained the players' respect, and they're out there playing for him, and he's making sure.
I want you to have a little bit to eat. We're going to take a five-minute timeout with you because Mark Parrish from NHL Network is with us now. Mark, we appreciate your time. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Doing very well, guys. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Your takeaway from Game 2 last night in San Jose?
I don't think the Blues have magic. I think they've got some kind of power, for crying out loud. That team is just a team of destiny right now. It's they remind me a ton of Vegas from last year, how they just find ways to win. and nobody can keep up with them when they're moving their feet.
And, Mark, you've been around the game a long time. You played the game. You've been coaching at different levels. What is it about a team not only winning on the road, but not giving up any goals? In their six road wins, they've given up zero third-period goals. What does that say? What are they doing to make that, to pull that number off?
That they get more and more confident as the game goes on, that they're comfortable winning one-goal games, which you absolutely have to be just to get to where they are right now. And most importantly, that they just believe in themselves. You know, starting with Binnington in the back, their poise, his poise, his demeanor, and it just follows that right through the bench. The bench just is calm. There's no panic. There's desperation, but there's no panic, and that's what you need in the playoffs.
So, Mark, do you believe that San Jose is the more talented team, but the Blues have this kind of magical feel to it, that they're going to win the series, or how do you see it?
I think San Jose has the depth, not by a ton. As it's been going on, you know, we're concerned a little bit about that depth in St. Louis, but guys are stepping up. Patty Maroon is stepping up. Robert Thomas is stepping up. I mean, there's these guys that are getting better and better as the playoffs go on. Now Tarasenko is getting going. That's where you need those guys. You need your studs to step up. You need the depth to pull through, because your top 10 players aren't going to be the scorers every night, and that's when you need. And obviously Jaden Schwartz has been incredible the whole time, and we're starting to see the depth from St. Louis come to the forefront.
What would you advise the Blues when it comes to the power play? There's the one issue that has been an issue. I'm not sure if they're 2-for-30, whatever it is, since the round two began. How do you fix that? And do you think players, do they get a little tight once they go on the power play instead of being excited? Do you think there's a little tension there?
Sometimes. It's either the tension, or sometimes you have one extra guy and guys will sometimes let off a gas or kind of let up, which you can't do. 5-on-4. Typically, that power play is playing against the PKers are the hardest working guys on that team. You've got to go out there and outwork them. And then if you're squeezing it, you got to just look for simple plays. Get it in there as quick as possible. Get the puck back to the point. Get guys to that, and just simplify. Play it not exactly a 5-on-5 style cycle, but almost play it like a 5-on-5 mentality. You're just trying to find shooting lanes, get it to the net, and go for an ugly one. And that can change things around real quick and open up lanes for that power play.
Mark Parrish is with us, NHL Network. What if you're Craig Berube? What would you say to Vladimir Tarasenko, who was a little bit more active last night? He had 8 shots, but still really nothing to show for it.
But you got to be careful this time of year with challenging guys. And you know, obviously, Craig has done a great job with his finger on the pulse of this team. Whether it's a pat on the back, he needs, like, hey, don't worry, we believe in you, it's going to come around, keep shooting, simplify, things like that. Or if he kind of needs a fire lit under his butt, Craig's obviously very good at that, because he's got one of the most intimidating stares I've ever seen in my life.
Mark, I wanted to ask you about something from your career. When you were with the Minnesota Wild, they did the rotating C, and so much of hockey is about who the captain is, the grizzled vet. How does that work? Because, I mean, you don't hear about that very often. Do players like that idea?
I don't think they mind it. It may depend on the age of the team. We had a veteran team. We were older, and so when we stepped in there and did it, it didn't bother anyone. It gives everybody a chance to, you know, be a captain, or the guys that deserve it to be a captain. So it didn't really bother me much. But I'm also a traditionalist, so I think there should be one captain. You name that. If you want to rotate the A's or find something with that, that's fine. But when it comes to the C, I like that just being set, but at least that year.
And, Mark, folks can see it. NHL Tonight. It airs live before and after every Stanley Cup playoff game. NHL Tonight, Mark Parrish, one of their network analysts. Do you have a gut as to this series? Is it going 6? Is it going 7? Do you guys make predictions there on the show?
Well, we make them, but some of them are right. My Lord, this year's been terrifying. So, yeah, you know, I think this is definitely going to be a 7-game series. Which way it's going to go, will San Jose depth maybe in the Joe Thornton and Matt storyline, but the St. Louis, just the way this has gone on since January 1, it just like I said, there's a Blues magic around there. They're turning everyone into a believer, and I kind of feel like their speed and their belief may just overtake San Jose.
Good stuff. We appreciate it, Mark. Thanks very much.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
All right, and you can see Mark on NHL Network Tonight, which will air live before each and every Stanley Cup playoff game. We are rejoined by Bob Plager, Mr. Blue. Are you in agreement that San Jose may be a little bit more talented?
Well, I think they got an older team that's got – they have a lot of talent, and they probably are more talented. But I think we got the legs, and we got the – I mean, the right makeup. And I think what he said, our team is they just believe in one another, and they're sticking up. But if one guy doesn't play well or makes a mistake, this team is – our team is not going to be that good. Everybody has to play and back one and trust one another out there. And our depth, we got players that are sitting in the stands that can jump right in and play, and we won't lose a step. Some of them are pretty good. There's guys sitting out that are can play, and you go to the workouts, the practices, they're out there, and the way they're practiced, they're ready to jump in. So, no, again, it starts with the goaltending up, and right now I like our goaltender. I think he's the best in the league right now. He has been for a while.
We all talk about Berube and his toughness and his intimidating scowl, and everybody has sort of the same take on him. Like, none of us would mess with Chief. We know that. Looks like he could still take plenty of people. But have we underrated his hockey acumen, like the moves that he makes, the strategy that he has, when to move a guy up a line, when to bring a guy down? I think some of his skill as a coach is almost lost because we're focused on the tough guy.
Well, right. You see some of the moves he's made, the way he's changed the lines going around, and some of the players that were in slumps weren't scoring. Now he's got them there. They're scoring. And you know, with our Tarasenko and not scoring and all that, you know, the playoffs, that's what you need. And you always see in the playoffs that somebody else, the third line or fourth line, that have the good years. Because right now, when you play against the St. Louis Blues, you want to stop the top line. And we got a great second line. You want to stop that. Well, who's been our best line? It's our third line that goes out there, because they're getting the players to play against. It's a little easier, and the game is. But you're going to stop. I know, as a player, when we played there, it was we put our top defenseman, our top checking line. They had checking lines that were specialists in those days, that you stop the number one line. And it's always a second or a third line that players that come through. But you still have to have your best player. Still got to get you that big goal. And you watch teams that won the Stanley Cup. You watch Crosby in the playoffs. Why this guy showed up. You watch Ovechkin. But then there's the other players that, because number one and two line, they're getting checked pretty close.
Bob, great stuff. We appreciate you stopping by. And I tell you what, if they win this Stanley Cup, the first person I'm going to think about is you.
Well, I'll be right down there in the mix, in the middle of it.
But you said last week after that Game 7, as much as you want it and former players want it, you want it for the fans.
Oh, well,
because
we see the fans.
They've
been
there
every
day
and out there. Yeah, and they come up here, and I mean, boy, I'd love it for myself, my family, and players, the owners. But the fans, they've been there, and they've been great. And just don't cheat the fans, players. Go out there and work your butt up. Play for the fans. Play for each other. That's the way it is.
Mr. Blue, Bob Plager. We're broadcasting live from Maggie O'Brien's. Come on by. Register to win Blues playoff tickets. Come on by. Have a great lunch, and try the Reuben Rolls. We'll be right back.